But when you want to preach or want to give a sermon, you pray about what you're going to talk about, and you wait on God to give you a message, which is what I did. But yesterday, I spent time with my family in prayer and fasting for this morning. And as we prayed and fasted, the Lord asked me to talk a bit more about the priority of prayer. Because prayer is going down, it's diminishing in our churches. We spend more time together, but not with God. We spend more time in different things, which is good. We have a community, and that is what church is. But the most important part of it is almost not being prioritized, and that is prayer. And so I changed a bit our topic from God speaks through prayer to the priority of prayer. It's still the same content, so don't worry about the title. All right. So when you hear the word prayer, what does it mean to you? I ask that question because when you hear world leaders speak, or when you hear people speak, they always talk about prayer. So when there has been an attack, people have lost their lives, or people have been injured, we hear our thoughts, or they are in our thoughts and our prayers, the victims and their families. When the church wants us to bring a bit of money out for a project, they tell us, go home and pray about it. So, when you hear that word prayer, what does it mean to you? I was going to go around and ask questions, but we don't have that much time. But prayer for me is a way that we talk to our Father. It's a means of communicating with God. And because He's our Father, when we speak, He hears us. It's not like me that we say, I'm too busy now. He doesn't do that. When we speak, He responds. He answers us. But let's go to the Bible. Let's quickly look at... which one? Thank you. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts of the Apostles. Now, it's on the screen, but I will reading from here as well. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 24, and then we will jump to 29 to 31. It says, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Now, just in case you have forgotten this story, or you may not even know about it, this story starts in Acts chapter 3, where John and Peter went out to the temple. And as they got to the temple, there was a lame man at the gate called Beautiful. Now that lame man was begging for alms. What Peter and John did, when they saw the lame man, Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you. And he asked the man to rise up, he gave his hands, and the guy was healed. So the lame man began to walk. Because he was so happy that he was now walking, this lame man hung on to Peter and John in the temple. Because they were in the temple, a small crowd formed around them. Being apostles, servants of God, Peter took his chances and began to preach to the crowd about Jesus Christ. But as he was preaching, they were arrested by the authorities because the church was being persecuted as it is being persecuted today. But what happened was when they were arrested, they were kept in custody overnight, and the following morning they were released from prison, from where they had been kept. But when they got home, they spoke to their brethren about what had happened to them. What did they do when they heard what has happened? That's why it says, when they heard, in the very first verse. When they heard what has happened to their brother, and when they heard the threats that has been given to them, and that they have been banned from speaking in the name of Christ, they didn't go home and cry. They didn't retire and say, well, it's up to God, he can fight his own battle. They didn't text messages around and say, go and do protest. What did they do? They called a prayer meeting. That's what they did. And if we read from Acts chapter 2, prayer meeting was the daily activity for the early church, for the New Testament church. Today, prayer meeting is disappearing from our churches because we don't see prayer as a priority anymore. Today, prayer is no longer part of what we do. In this church, we meet, I think, once a week on a Wednesday morning for prayer. And then we meet at the end of the month for prayer. But at this time, people were praying every day. People who study missions, they tell us that the church is growing. The kingdom of God is advancing exponentially in Africa, in Asia, in South America. But the church is dying in Australia, in North America, and in Europe. There is one key reason. People are not praying in Australia. People are not praying in Europe. People are not praying in North America. But people are praying on a daily basis in Africa, in Asia, and in South America. And in those places, the church is growing. But let's look at what these people prayed about in that prayer meeting. When they met in that meeting, the first thing that we notice is that it said they were praying with one accord. One accord means that they were in agreement. They were praying in harmony. It wasn't one person saying, this is too much, this prayer meeting is not for me. It's not my thing. No. If you are a child of God, if you are in the church, prayer is for you. Prayer is not an option for any child of God. Because guess what? When we are not praying, the devil is busy. When we are not praying, the devil is busy. And when the devil is busy, who is he busy against? The house of God. And because we are busy sleeping, the devil is having a field day. But these people, when they met together to pray, they didn't ask for God to punish their enemies. They didn't say that God should silence those people who were coming against them. No. They asked for two things. One was boldness. The authorities say, do not preach anymore in this name. But they say, God, give us boldness to preach in this name. Hallelujah. Well, what do? We say, no, I cannot talk about God. It is in my heart. It is my business. The authorities say, don't do this. I'm not going to pray about it. I'm not going to talk about it. But the early church, the New Testament church, when they were told, don't preach in this name, they went home and they went to their churches and they had a prayer meeting. And they asked for boldness to preach the word. What else did they ask for? They asked for miracles. They said, God, to show that we are preaching about you, to show that you are God Almighty, that the Christ that is crucified is the Messiah. What we want to show is miracles. Stretch forth your hand and heal. Let there be signs and wonders that people will know that you are God. They didn't go advertising on radio, or TV or anywhere. They said, God, you speak for yourself through your miracles. Because when these things happen, people will see, they will know that you are God. And what happened? The Bible tells us where we just read, that as they finished praying, or when they had finished prayer, where they were was shaking. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. But what else did happen? They spoke the word of God boldly. They spoke the word of God boldly. Because they had prayed and God had answered them. Because God answers prayers. God is not a passive listener to our prayer. When we are communicating with God, He responds. He responds to us. Because He has promised that He will do that. Isaiah 65 verse 24 tells us, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. That is a promise. Now, if you go back to where we just read in Acts of the Apostles, that's exactly what happened. Before they called, when they are still speaking, God answered them. Does this happen today? Or has it stopped? Is God still answering prayers? Or has God stopped answering prayers? I want to testify to you this morning that God is still answering prayers. Because God is not dead. Because God has not changed, and He will not change. He remains the same forever and forever. The same God that spoke through Isaiah the prophet. It is the same God that is still alive today. Hallelujah. And that's my family. I'm not sure how this works. Okay. So that's our first son. And this is Matthew. This is Stephen. I'm not sure about those ones there. But I bring this to testify. I'm going to talk more about this guy here with our first son. But I also add this so that I don't have to buy too much McDonald's when I get home. Now, I want to testify here this morning that God answers prayers. But sometimes we may not hear or we may not receive what we are asking for immediately. It may take time. But if it takes time, delay doesn't mean denial. It doesn't mean that God hasn't answered your prayers. But it may take some time. We came to this country, myself and my wife Victoria, we came to this country a few years ago, a long time ago now, with our 6-month-old daughter. But shortly after that, we got another one with our sister. So we have two beautiful girls at the time. We want to have many children. If we had our way, we could have a soccer team in our house. Now we have 4 of them. But you see, it is very, child care is very heavy, it's expensive. So we decided, two of us decided, let's have a short break in having children. But then, when we wanted to have another one, Victoria was, we were told that she cannot have any more children because she was sick. And that, so we looked at it and we said, no, we want to have children. We are children of God. And so we refused to accept that report from that doctor. So we went home. We went on our knees, two of us. At that time, I wasn't a very prayer person. My wife was a prayer person, is a prayer person, has always been a prayer person. I wasn't one. Because I was more into going to church. I was more into showing myself in church, but I didn't know God. I wasn't close to God. But she was. But we started praying, or she started praying. But in 2001, something happened in our home. That there was a revival in our home. And suddenly, I was a prayer person. And so, the two of us began to pray. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And one day, one night in 2001, we were praying on our floor, on our knees, in our lounge room. And as we were praying, excuse me, The Lord spoke to me. God said to me, here is your child, and you will call him Stephen. And I held this child in my arms before God. And I passed the child to my wife. I said, here is our child. Here is our son. Because we already had two girls, we have prayed purposely for a boy. We wanted to have a son. We already have two girls. And so all our prayer has been, God, give us a son. And so that night, when God spoke to me and said, here is your son, call him Stephen. And I passed my son to my wife. And she didn't ask me any question. She just embraced the child, which was in there. And so that was in 2001. And we started praying. We prepared a room for Stephen, but Stephen was not there. We had faith that Stephen was going to be born. And so we had a room set for Stephen. And we told our girls, you're going to have a little brother called Stephen. And then we were very happy. But then, they are children. We have been praying for Stephen, and praying for Stephen, and praying for Stephen. And there was no Stephen. So they kept asking us, Mommy, Daddy, where is Stephen that you've always been praying for? And we said, Stephen is coming, don't worry. So we kept praying for Stephen. And one day, my wife said, I'm pregnant. I said, yes, Stephen is there. Anyway, Stephen, when my wife became pregnant for Stephen, then she was sick. The doctor said, you have to abort this child to save your life. And we said, no, we will not abort Stephen. We will not abort any child. So we went home, and we kept praying. In 2003, Stephen was born to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Shortly after that, his brother Matthew, that is this one here, was born. But looking back, we were told my wife could not longer have a child. That sickness, by the way, was gone completely. Sickness is gone. We have two more children. We wanted a boy. We have two boys. Hallelujah. Does God answer prayer? Yes, he answers prayers. Will he answer your prayer? Yes, God is the answering prayers. But let me just say four things about prayer. There are four things I want to talk about prayer. The one thing is sin, faith, his grace, and in whose name are we praying? I want to emphasize that last point very well. Sin is something that, again, like prayer, we don't talk about anymore in our churches. We don't talk about sin. We don't talk about hell. We don't talk about those things that sound bad because we don't want to offend people. But if Christ didn't offend people, the kingdom of God would not have been advancing. Because the Bible tells us very clearly that since the days of John the Baptist, it says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. If we cannot tell the truth, if we cannot tell people what it is, the kingdom of God will not advance. This is what the Bible tells us about sin and prayer. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. He will not hear. These are not my words. These are the words of God. Sin can stand between us and God. Sin can stand between us and our prayer. Where there is sin, God, it tells us here that God takes away, he hides his face. It tells us in the Old Testament, he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wickedness, then I will hear and answer and heal their land. Prayer can stop us from receiving from God. The next thing I talk about is faith. James tells us, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. To pray in faith is to pray without doubting. I was once in a church where we were asked to pray for a sick person. And everybody prayed in that church as we pray. You pray one after the other, you say this, you say that, you say that. All that the person will be healed. And as soon as we stepped out of that place outside, the person who was praying said, the person is dead. He will die because he's very sick. So there was no point praying. If the person is told he will be sick, will die from his sickness, but you are in the church praying, and you know he will die, why are you praying? So prayer has to come with faith. Believe that what I'm asking for will be done. When we read all through the New Testament, we see Christ telling people, your faith has healed you. When we don't have faith, and we are praying, we are simply playing God. When we don't have faith, and we are praying, we're simply trying to appear, to look like we are doing something, to look like we are part of the people praying. But that's not how God works. We have to pray believing that what we are praying for will come to pass. It may not happen immediately. It may happen after 2 years, like it did in our case. It may happen 30 years. I know people who have been praying for their children for different things. It's taking time, but it will happen. Delay is not denial. Hallelujah. It's gone faster than me. All right. The next thing I want to talk about in our prayer is the grace of God. The grace of God. Apostle Paul, we know very well, was a man of God. Apostle Paul knew how to pray. He knew what to ask. He knew what to say at what time. Paul, we know, was sick. I don't know what the sickness was. But we know that Paul had a problem. He tells us this in 2 Corinthians 12. He said three times he asked God for this thing to be taken away from him. But what did God say to him? He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And this morning, I think Robin talked about this earlier in her prayer. My grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes we may have a problem. It may be a sickness. It may be something at work anywhere. And we pray and we pray and we pray and nothing happens. And we think God has forgotten about me. No, God hasn't forgotten about you. God may have answered your prayers, but in a different way. God may have responded to you, but I said, told you something else. You wanted to have a Mercedes-Benz car, and God says, no, you don't need that car right now. I'm going to give you a motorbike. And so, because you have been praying for a Mercedes-Benz, and God says, have a motorbike first, you refuse to have the motorbike. Because that's not what you want. And you think, God has not answered me. God has already answered you. See, sometimes God will allow us to go through things that he will use that to make us who he wants us to be. But we don't hear. Because sometimes we are spiritually blind, but also spiritually deaf, that we don't hear what God is telling us. But Paul tells us that three times he asked God to take this away from him. But God said, you can live with that, because my grace is sufficient for you. And we need to learn to know that sometimes we need to stand on the grace of God and know that yes, we may have this arm that is paining us, but God wants us to live with that pain for a reason. We may still think it's unfair, but God knows why he wants us to live with that arm that is not feeling, that's not very well. Amen. Now the last thing on that point I was talking about, in whose name are we praying? That's a very important point. When I was growing up in Nigeria, and I was always in church in Nigeria, every time people prayed, I always knew when they had finished praying, so that I can say amen to the prayer, because they will say in Jesus' name. Always. And I took it for granted. I didn't know why they always say in Jesus' name. So I never thought about it. And when I came to Australia, I began to see a trend where people pray and just say amen. They don't say anything like, they just say amen. And some says in his name or in his mighty name. And I ask myself, in whose name? In whose mighty name? When you look through the Bible, and I've only given a few verses here. John chapter 4 verse 6 tells us, 14 verse 6 says, he said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When we pray, we are seeking access to God the Father. And he says, no one comes to him except through me. Again, he says there, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. In my name. So when we say, in his name, in whose name? Now, I come from Nigeria where there are many gods that people serve. And people even take those gods to the church. If you are from India, there are many gods in India. And you're in the church with those gods. In whose name? Sorry. In whose name are you praying? Is it in the name of Jesus Christ? Or are you praying in some other person's name? Because you could be praying in the name of your wealth and you're saying in his name. You could be praying in the name of your money and you say in his name. But we need to be praying in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, because we are talking about prayer, we're going to pray this morning. I just left you there with something that my daughter bought me a few things last year for Christmas or Father's Day, I'm not sure. But it says, pray first. Whenever you are going through anything, whatever it is, pray first. I have this on my desk at work. Whatever it is, Philippians 4, verse 6. Pray first. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Don't worry about the one that he hasn't done. Thank him for what he has done. Hallelujah. Can we stand up and pray this morning? Pray. I just want to I just want also from wherever you are standing, wherever you are standing this morning, just focus on God. Just focus on yourself. Focus on yourself. Whatever that may be going through, you may be going through. Just focus on yourself this morning. Want to pray one simple prayer. The song that we sang earlier says, set our hearts ablaze. It says, set our hearts ablaze. I want us to pray this prayer together this morning. You see, when we read in the Acts of, chapter 4, it says that they lifted their voice together in one accord. This morning, let us lift our voice together in one accord and pray one simple prayer. That Lord, that the God that we serve, we set our hearts ablaze. That we will go out from here this morning, making prayer a priority in our lives, in the church and in our personal life. That we want to make prayer a priority. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, mighty Jehovah, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I want to say thank you this morning for what we have heard, O God. Thank you, Father, for the examples you set for us, O Father, in the acts of the apostles. That when the people, when your brethren, O Father, heard your word, when they heard what has happened to their brethren, Heavenly Father, they didn't go home and say, let your will be done. They didn't go home and say, let God fight for himself. Heavenly Father, we know, we hear that they went together in the prayer meeting. And Father, they prayed and they called upon your name. Heavenly Father, they asked for boldness. They asked, oh Father, for miracles will happen among their midst, will happen in their community. Father, this morning, we ask, oh Father, that you will give us boldness to preach your word. Heavenly Father, this morning we ask that everyone here will begin to develop a life of prayer, oh Father. Heavenly Father, that let prayer, oh Lord, not be a thing that we put in the corner. But let prayer, oh Father, be a priority in our lives as a church, oh Father. Let prayer, oh Father, be a priority, oh Father, in our lives as individuals. Let prayer, Father, be oh Father, a priority for us, oh God, as families, oh God. Let prayer, oh Father, be a priority for us, oh Lord, in everything that we do. Heavenly Father, in our work, in our career, in our families, in our marriages, oh God, let prayer take preeminence, oh Father, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just before we close our service, there may be people here who would like to pray with someone this morning. Swanu has prayed with us, and we have all been in one accord, I pray.